What's up, Motion Students? This is Pastor Luke with another episode of the Motion Students Podcast. Today, we'll be recapping the sermon on Sunday night. So I know that students, and I know that anybody that listening to a sermon will not retain 100% of what was said. And so I'm going to give us a little bit more of an insight to what was said. We're going to go over some of the scripture and even add a little bit to, it's a little girth to the message so that we can really unpack this, what this means for you specifically as a student listening. So if you're in class or maybe at home or wherever you are, go ahead and open your Bible to John 20, verses 19 through 31. Now, we're just going to be in verses 24 through 31 today. And if you aren't able to open the Word, just listen. I'm going to walk us through it. Now, this is what it says, verse 24. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Remember that Jesus had just resurrected from the dead. Verse 25. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I'm going to come back really quickly to verse 25 where he says, Thomas says, if I don't place my hands on his wound, be it the side or the hand, I will never believe. Now, it's interesting. You see, this is unfair, and this is almost an unprecedented moment in Scripture because he's saying, "I will not believe," but then Jesus literally shows him. But he says, Jesus says, it's better for those who do not see him and still believe in him for those who have to see, right? We talked about on Sunday night, you know, I had a friend come up to me and say, "Luke, if Jesus doesn't walk up to me and tell me he's real, then I won't believe in him." You see, he doesn't have an opportunity for, you know, Jesus to walk up to him and show him his side and show his hands. And truthfully, to this day, he has never put his hope in Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's interesting that we see Jesus interacting with Thomas this way. I had somebody come up to me after the message on Sunday and say, "You know, I think we give Thomas a bad rap because wouldn't we all kind of be pretty curious about, okay, Jesus, you were dead, now you're here again. Other people are telling me you're alive, but I saw you die with my own eyes. I'm not going to believe that until I see him." Now, that would be a fair question if we didn't have John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, there's many a moment that Jesus is speaking about him being the way, the truth, and the life, but also him speaking about what's about to come. What is about to come? And so, if you look with me in chapter 14, verse 5, Thomas is asking Jesus a question. The same Thomas that questioned Jesus was back alive. This is when Jesus is pre-persecution, pre-death on the cross. This is what Thomas asked Jesus when Jesus is speaking about the end of things that are coming. This is right around the time that Jesus said, "Peter, you will forsake my name. You will say you don't even know me to a 12-year-old and to two others, and then the crow will sound." And of course that ended up being true and that happened. This is around the time where Jesus is promising the coming of the Holy Spirit. But this is what Thomas asked Jesus. Thomas said to him in verse 5, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" You see, he's referring to Jesus is saying, "I'm going to be gone here soon. I'm going to be gone." They didn't know exactly how it was going to happen, but "I'm going to be gone and you will soon not have me." Thomas asked a regular question, a question I think we all would ask. "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How are we supposed to follow you if you're gone?" And so as Thomas is wondering this exact question, Jesus doesn't just leave him on a cliffhanger. Jesus replies later on in that same exact chapter, verse 18, he says, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. See, Jesus is saying that you will see me. Yeah, the world won't, but I'm coming to you. Remember in chapter 20, it says, right here, it says the 12 was not with it, but so the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. How did they see him? Because previously the Father came to him when the doors were closed. Jesus is showing up and showing the disciples that he's back alive. Now, he's also alluding that the Holy Spirit will come eventually. And after, of course, Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came on this earth. And now it's Christ in us through the Holy Spirit. And we get that. So you see that. And then we look in verse 29 of chapter 14. Jesus is speaking of the same thing. He says, and now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. You see what Jesus is saying? He says, and now I have told you exactly what's going to take place so that you may have faith. You see, when I come and I appear to you in John 20, you know that I am alive, even if you saw me or if you did not, because I told you what was going to happen. Jesus alluded that death was not going to be permanent, that he was going to overcome death, and Thomas still did not believe. So, yes, it's fair that Thomas is asking the question before Jesus is dead, where are you going? Jesus, I want to know. We've been following you for 3.5 years. Where are you going to go? How is this faith thing going to sustain if you're not here? And then Jesus tells him exactly, hey, I am not gone forever. I'm following the Father's commandment, and the Father's commandment in that moment was for him to die on the cross for the people, for the sins of all of us, but that he was going to raise again, that he was going to be back. This wasn't the end to faith. This wasn't the end, you know, to the awesome signs and wonders that Jesus was performing. And so then I fast forward to us in verse 30 of chapter 20, which is where we landed on Sunday night. In hindsight, after seeing Thomas ask the question before, and then Thomas not believing, although Jesus spelled it out for him, you know, sometimes that happens to us, is that we look to Scripture, and when we see Scripture, it says that the Father will show up and give us the words to speak in times of evangelism, but we don't trust him, so we don't evangelize. You see, it's the Scripture says, peace be with you in the specific verse, that Christ brings us comfort, that he is the great the conqueror, and that through him that we can be conquerors in Christ, that we can overcome fear, we can overcome shame, we can overcome, deaths and families, divorce, and all of these things. That if we put our hope in Christ, it's not that those things won't hurt, but we can still stand firm in Christ, and then those times come, and we lose our faith because we do not believe. Right, we can read something, but not believe it's true. Jesus told Thomas, even though Thomas did not believe it to be true. So why do we have Scripture, we must ask. Verse 30, right here, it tells us everything. Now Jesus did other signs in the presence of the disciples. Speaking of these things that he has done, which are not written in this book. But these are written. When it says these are written, everything that's been written before that exact moment, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Students, I want you to know this today, that the Bible is written so that when we read it, we believe in Jesus Christ. That we have to make a decision. Yes, we cannot see Jesus, but do we believe him? And this can be one of the scariest moments in faith, in our walk with Christ, is the very first time making a decision to follow after Jesus and then taking him for his word, believing what he said is true. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see, if we want to have life in the name of Jesus Christ, we must believe in Jesus Christ. And if you look around in a world that's hurting and is in sorrow and all these new fashion trends and all these new cultural pressures and all of these things that come around, there's a lot of people that are hurting and they do not have joy and they do not have life because they do not know Jesus. As corny as it gets, but they don't have they have that Jesus-sized hole in their heart that they need, that they fill with a bunch of other things that's not named Jesus. Let's not be a people that say, oh yeah, I believe. And then in the moment, in the issue, and when the first storm comes in our life, we say, you know what, I don't believe in that. I'm just going to fix it myself. See, that'll be our tendency. So it's my prayer that as we understand John chapter 20 and understand Thomas, and I know Thomas is in here, to give us an example of, it's greater are those who do not see me but yet still believe in my name. And that's our duty. And then when we do believe, the Holy Spirit will come alongside of us. The Holy Spirit will come alongside of us. So students, I want you to know that, you see, the Reformation, which is when Martin Luther really fought for the Protestant church, which is the church now in which you guys are now in, he said these two things that pertain to this message, sola fide, and sola scriptura. And what do these two mean? Sola fide means it is by faith alone, and sola scriptura says it is by scripture alone. Okay, and so what that means is like we believe in God by faith alone, only in faith alone and in scripture alone. When we read scripture, that's where we find truth. That's where we find truth. In faith alone, in scripture alone. It is the glory to God forever. Let me pray for you. Father God, I pray for this message. I pray for this podcast. I pray for this ministry, Father, that all we're doing is ministers, becoming ministers of the gospel, Jesus. Let us know you. God, let us fall in love with you. Let us continue to tell people about you. God, I pray, Lord, for these students that when they understand that faith is not the most easiest thing in the world. In fact, it's not easy at all, but it's so worth it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Students, you are loved. Go in peace. Share this podcast with other students. And know that, when we press into Scripture, we find truth. Have a good day.